O God, whose mercies are without number, and whose goodness is an infinite treasure, we render thanks to thy most gracious majesty for the gifts thou hast bestowed upon us, evermore beseeching thy clemency, that as thou grantest the petitions of them that ask thee, thou wilt never forsake them, but wilt prepare them for the reward to come, through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm thinking of two Thanksgiving stories today. One is fictional, but you should know it. It's from one of the greatest English authors of all time, Charles Dickens. And it probably happened more than once. And the other is historical, from the life of today's saint. One takes place, and they take place at the same time, what we call Victorian, very early Victorian England, sometime before the Civil War, but in England and France. One in a Protestant English orphanage, or workhouse as they were known. You know the story of Oliver Twist, not just the movie, you should read the book sometime, how this poor little boy doesn't have enough to eat and all they get for supper is gruel. And he's so very hungry, he does something that none of the other little starved children would dare do, and he goes up to the head of the line with his empty bowl, and he says, "Please, sir, may I have some more?" And then there's a great tumult and carrying on, and the parish beadle is summoned, and he's disciplined, and eventually he's sent away to go work for an undertaker as his punishment. The other scene around the same time, Catholic France, it's in a sort of a nursing home for old men. There's a very tall, austere-looking daughter of charity. You know, the sisters used to wear those big wings, the starched white coronet. And she's stopping at each table at dinner, and she says to them, "Vous avez suffisant? Do you have enough?" And if they say no, she serves them up some more. I'm always thankful myself when Thanksgiving comes around, this feast day of St. Catherine Laboure or of the Miraculous Medal. It's a good occasion to remember with great gratitude the powerful sacramentals our Lord has given us. You know, there are only three whose feast day is kept each year: the Rosary, the Brown Scapular, and the Miraculous Medal. How blessed we Catholics are to have these powerful spiritual aids. The Miraculous Medal, I think, tends to be obscured by the other two, maybe because, practically speaking, how much can you wear around your neck at the same time? And maybe that's the reason why the Miraculous Medal is a little unknown today, or is just an article of ladies' jewelry, a little gold medal worn about the neck on the golden chain, whereas it should be worn and given and used with a confident faith, so as to receive what? So as to receive enough, so as to receive miracles from the good God. In the order of faith, spiritual graces, conversion, say, a stronger faith for those who need it, as well as in the natural order of things, enough to eat, enough money to pay your bills, enough health to carry out the duties of your state of life. This medal comes to us through today's saint, and she is Catherine Laboure. We know her as the daughter of charity, to whom Our Lady appeared, and she gave an instruction about this medal. She kept her identity secret, because Our Lady told her to, her whole life long, and she wouldn't even tell the Pope who she was. She wouldn't even answer his questions. She only spoke to her confessor under the seal of the confessional. The sisters in the convent, now of course they were women, so women tend to be very curious, and they also have an instinct to figure things out, don't they? So some of them had sort of put two and two together as to who it was, but generally speaking, for 46 years, she kept the secret. What a miracle. She never said a word to one of her sisters till the very end. And she was the sister who just did the routine work. Sometimes she was assigned to feed the chickens, and I'm sure she made sure the chickens had enough to eat. And generally speaking, she took care of the old men in a certain nursing home near Paris, and she was known for saying this, making sure that all the men at dinner every day got enough to eat. So I think that Catherine Laboure is a real kind of a Thanksgiving saint for us, and in a double sense, not only for the spiritual graces, the sacramentals, the eventual possible miracles that are given to us in prayer, but also for those material needs that we are especially mindful of on a Thanksgiving, a beautiful day like this, to thank the good Lord that we do indeed get enough. Her life, on the other hand, that which was not seen, that which was on the inside, her dreams and her visions, was an extraordinary affair. You might say a sort of a tissue of miracles. But that wasn't known to the others. What was known is just the facts of her life. She was a farming girl, and her mother died when she was very young, and she learned to cook, and she took care of her father and her brothers, and she did her fair share of farm work as well. She always longed to be a nun, but it wasn't for her. Her older sister got to go and be a nun, and she lost her vocation, her older sister did, because she was too proud, and she left the convent. She wouldn't obey. But not St. Catherine. She had a hard time getting in, though. After she didn't need to work on the farm any longer, then she was sent to Paris to work with her sister and brother-in-law who were trying to open up a cafe, and they needed her assistance. She never got too much in the way of education. I was telling the school children yesterday, if you have trouble with a spelling test, pray to St. Catherine. She never learned how to spell, and the sisters noted in her records that her system of spelling was bizarre. Nevertheless, she was accepted, she became a nun, and on the night of the 18th to the 19th of July, the feast of St. Vincent de Paul, who founded the Daughters of Charity, she had this extraordinary spiritual event. She heard a child's voice calling to her about 11:30 at night. The sisters all slept in a dormitory with curtains around each bed. And standing outside the curtain was a little boy, she figured her guardian angel, 5, 6 years old, all shining with light. And he said to her insistently, "Come with me." And the boy walks her down the hallway, which is all lit up, to the chapel. The doors were usually locked. He opens it with just a little push of his finger. And then they walk right up to the altar, to the epistle side where the chaplain's chair was. And then he says to her, "Our Lady is coming." And she hears the rustle of silk. And she looks up and she sees Mary. Immaculate, beautiful, long white dress. Her hair is braided, black and braided, and she has a veil, blue veil, on her head. And she's so flabbergasted, she doesn't know what, she just stands there. And so the angel says to her, "The Virgin Mary is here." Then he repeats it because there's no reaction, she's still in shock. And then finally he assumes an adult voice to get her attention, "The Virgin Mary is here." And at this point she comes to herself, and she goes and she kneels down in front of Our Lady, and she instinctively puts her hands in Mary's lap, remember? And they have a long conversation, about 2 hours. And she tells her what's going to happen to France and to the world, all sorts of terrible predictions and sufferings and sorrows, and also what her role in this would be, how she would be given a special job. She goes back, the angel leads her back to bed, 2 o'clock in the morning. She doesn't sleep the rest of the night. A few months later, on November the 27th, she is at prayer on a Saturday night before the first Sunday of Advent with the other sisters in the chapel, meditating, and she sees Our Lady again, this time by the altar in a vision, and the vision turns into sort of a medal, and she sees one side, and then the vision turns around, and she sees the other. It's the miraculous medal with the words, "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee." And she is told to get this medal struck. She does. By an unusual route, she only spoke to her confessor. Her confessor waited a long time and kind of tested her. But because of her virtue, and including her discretion and her silence, he figures this must be genuine. He has some business with the bishop the Archbishop of Paris, and he listens very favorably, and he says, well, there's nothing wrong with doing that. In fact, I'd like to have one of those medals. Get that done. So they make 1,500 medals the first time, and within 2 years, they strike 6 million medals, and they're spread all throughout France and all throughout the whole world, and there are so many miracles of healing, conversion, protection, and the rest, that it's known as the Miraculous Medal. That was the great mission of her life. But the rest, as I say, is of interest. She had what they call a phlegmatic character. She was seemingly emotionless, very sort of an impassive person, but she'd be a good person to keep a secret, and so she did. What always strikes me about the life of St. Catherine, taking care of these old men in the nursing home, is that once a month, the men received their pension from the government. And on that day, customarily, most of the men would troop across the street to a cafe, and then they would get to drinking, smoking, and talking. And sometimes they would drink too much. And when they came back, then sometimes they would have little accidents one way and another. And Sister Catherine would clean up after them every time, and she never said a word. And it happened every month. And some of the other sisters said, Sister, why do you put up with that? I'd cut them off. I wouldn't let them leave. Why should you have to clean up after them? No, she said. No, this is their chance to get out, and I'm not going to say anything. And so she never did. And when she got them cleaned up and back at the table again, there she was with a ladle and the soup bowl, have you had enough, asking each one of them. One time, the old men showed their appreciation and got up and gave a little speech on her feast day, St. Catherine of Alexandria. That's Monday of this week. And he said, Sister Catherine, you are very good to us. And at table, you always ask us, have you got enough? That's probably a good thing to remember for those who are serving the meal today for Thanksgiving. But not only on Thanksgiving, throughout the year. She made the men, in her own quiet way without ever saying it, she made them feel loved, and she showed a certain respect as well as charity towards them, seeing to their physical needs, also their spiritual. When they needed the priest, she made sure that they made a good confession and got the last rites. St. Catherine Laboure reminds me of the old-style father of the family. That is to say, on the exterior, gruff and kind of serious, but truly with the proverbial heart of gold. It's not what you say, it's what you do. When she died, just before she died, a few months, she told the Sister Superior, she said, I think I should probably tell you, you know, I'm the one to whom Our Lady appeared. And the Sister Superior's response was remarkable. She said to her, oh, if I had known that, I wouldn't have been so mean to you all these years. It's human nature. Isn't that interesting how that is, human nature? And when she died, she had a huge funeral. By then, everybody knew. She had a huge funeral. And at her grave, after she was buried, a 12-year-old crippled girl was miraculously healed and was able to walk. And then from then on, there were many, many miracles for the Sister of the Miraculous Medal. This Thanksgiving, our motive for thanks. Ask yourself now, have you got enough? And if you don't have enough, remember, you only have yourself to blame. Remember how Our Lady appeared? She had rings on three fingers on each side. There were three rings on each three of these fingers. She had her hands out like this, and the rays came out so beautiful and bright that they obscured her feet. That's how she saw the Miraculous Medal. And then she noticed that some of the stones on some of the rings didn't glisten. They didn't give any light or any rays. And she said, so she asked the Virgin Mary, and Our Lady said, oh, those are the graces that are waiting in heaven, and nobody ever asked for them. Well, don't you be in the group of those who never ask for graces that you need. Trust God. Trust your Blessed Mother. Don't consider yourself worthless. Don't think you wouldn't have a right. Of course you do. You ask for more. Only do it through Mary. Wear and use and give away her Miraculous Medal. And when the time comes, you pray for a miracle too. Have you got enough? We have the Blessed Mother. We have our Catholic faith. We have the power of prayer. Certainly, we all of us have enough. God bless you this Thanksgiving. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.